We read sacred scripture in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. We begin reading at verse 19 and read to the end of the chapter. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We read the word of God this far. Obviously, this is one of the outstanding passages of Holy Scripture, the truth of which is taught in the Catechism's explanation of the fourth petition of the model prayer in Lord's Day 50, question and answer 125. Question 125, which is the fourth petition? Answer, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. The request for bread, beloved, is the fourth petition of the model prayer that is to guide and direct us in all our life of prayer. It is not the first petition. It isn't the second petition. It isn't even the third petition. But it is the fourth petition. The petition for bread, therefore, is subordinate to the petitions for God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. Thus does our Lord Jesus Christ refute Karl Marx and the philosophy of communism. According to Marx, the economic aspect of life is primary in the souls and in the lives of all human beings. In fact, not only is the economic, which our Lord's Day and the petition of which it is an explanation, refer to as bread, not only is the economic not primary, but the fact is that the economic is strictly subordinated to the spiritual, God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. In teaching us how to pray, therefore, the Lord Jesus was consistent with his own instruction to his disciples, including us, in Matthew chapter 6, which we read this morning. There, the Lord teaches us, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, warning that where one's treasure is, there his heart is also. And how foolish for a human being to make the economic aspect of life, to make bread the primary and even exclusive concern of his soul. How foolish, because one who does this, in the words of Philippians 3, verse 19, makes his God his belly. How foolish to worship our own belly. How foolish to worship our belly rather than to worship God. Nevertheless, let us confess it this morning with due humility and shame that we are strongly tempted to worship the belly god, our own belly, as the god of our life. We're tempted to do that inwardly, where no one else but God himself can see that we are tempted to worship the belly god. Then, in our own thinking, in our own willing, and in our own feeling, we make earthly riches the most important aspect of our life. We make food and drink, clothing, and what we drive and ride in the primary aspects of our life in the world. And then sometimes we are tempted so that we're strongly inclined to carry out this temptation outwardly in our behavior. Men and women, forsake the truth of the kingdom of God, not for the sake of bread, but for the sake of a little more bread. They can have more bread if they abandon the true church of Jesus Christ and forsake the commandments of Jesus Christ that govern life in his kingdom. We're tempted to carry out our worship of the belly god in our behavior. Nevertheless, this is not to say that bread has no place and that the concern for bread has no important place in our life whatsoever. The fourth petition of the model prayer guards against materialism, making bread the main thing, but the fourth petition also guards against an over-spiritualization of our life, into which some members of the church are inclined to fall. According to this over-spiritualization of life, concern for bread has no place in the life of the Christian whatsoever. That's an error also. And the fourth petition guards against that error. With the fourth petition begins the second section of the model or Lord's Prayer. The first section of the model prayer concerns God, His name, that it be hallowed, His kingdom, that it come, His will, that it be done. With the fourth petition begins the second section of the model prayer concerning us, ourselves, and our needs. First, in the list of our own needs, which we bring to God in prayer, is the need of bread. Not the need of the forgiveness of our sins that follows. Not the need of the sanctifying of us by the Holy Spirit so that we walk in obedience to the commandments of God. That petition also follows. But first of all, with regard to our own needs, the need for bread. And the explanation is obvious. Without bread, we're not even alive to need the forgiveness of sins. Without bread, we die, so that there is no more mention of guarding against temptation and strengthening to live a holy life. Give us this day our daily bread. With that petition, we begin the second section of the model prayer. We draw near to God in prayer, asking Father for bread. That's the theme of the message this morning, asking Father for bread. Notice with me, in the light of Matthew 6 and the Catechism's explanation of the fourth petition, the request itself. Second, the motivation for that request. And third, the blessedness of that request, or the blessedness of the spiritual attitude that produces that request. Asking Father for bread. In the fourth petition of the model prayer, according to the literal translation of our catechism, in Lord's Day 50, we are asking God to supply our bodily needs. That's the essence of this request. As our translation puts it, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. Included in this request are all of those things that belong to Jesus' description of our bodily needs in Matthew 6. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, and what we shall put on. But all of those bodily needs are deliberately described by Jesus in the expressive term bread. Give us bread. Now let us not overlook how much is involved, really, in what is seemingly a very simple matter of giving bread to us. A great deal is included in the gift of bread to us, and therefore a great deal is included and ought to be consciously included by us when we make the fourth petition. Included in the gift of bread are fertile fields, sunshine and rain in due season, and a growing season that can produce the grain from which bread is made. Included in the request for bread is all the work of the farmers, of the bakers, and of the merchants. Usually included in the gift of bread is all of our own industry, as the Catechism refers to the work of the businessman or of the laboring man, because usually it pleases God to give us bread in the way of our own industry or work. Included as well in what seemingly is such a simple request is some order in the nation and in society, so that the farmer and the baker and the merchant can operate, and so that there is work for the laboring man by which he may obtain from God his bodily necessities. When we ask for bread, the range of our request is wide. And implied in that wide range of our request is our childlike conviction that the God to whom we pray is sovereign over all these aspects of earthly life, over all of earthly life in its entirety. Nevertheless, the Lord instructs us that we are to pray for bread, and we are to pray for bread only. That is, we are not to pray for material riches. We are not to pray for steak and pie and ice cream. We may be rich. We may enjoy the luxuries of food, of clothing, and of shelter. But we are not to make these things the objects of our prayer. And that implies something about our hearts from which the requests of our prayers arise. We are not to desire riches. We are not to desire the luxuries of earthly life, whether of food or of dress or of housing. That would be lust. That would be violation of what the apostle writes as a warning when he says that those who will to be rich stand in mortal danger. Not those who are rich, not those whom it pleases God to make rich, but those who will to be rich, those who have their mind made up that one of their main goals in their life is to become rich. Against that, God warns, and against that, the fourth petition of the model prayer stands in warning, not for those riches and luxuries, but for bread. We are to beseech God. That stands for the necessities of earthly life, and the necessities of earthly life only. The explanation is that our hearts are not fixed upon earthly riches or upon earthly things at all, but our hearts are fixed, as Christ calls us to fix them, upon the kingdom of God, upon the spiritual treasures that are stored up for us in Jesus Christ in heaven, riches that we already begin to enjoy and that are precious to us above all things, precious to us above earthly riches, and which abundance and riches we expect to receive at the moment of our death and then in the resurrection of the body in the day of Jesus Christ. Precious to us, desirable to us, already in this life, above our own riches and luxuries, are the name of God, the kingdom of God, and the will of God. These necessities, Jesus teaches us, each one of us, to request of God in the measure that is fitting for each one of us personally, as the sovereign God knows and has determined the circumstances of our life. Here, I am explaining the word in the model prayer that the English translates as daily. Give us this day our daily bread. The word daily does not, in fact, do justice to the thought that Jesus expresses and wants us to understand and to practice in the fourth petition. Daily could better be translated and understood as the bread that is coming to me, or the bread that is fitting for me personally and for my circumstances of life. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8, the same thought is expressed in the words, "Give me food convenient for me," the food that is appropriate for me. Here we must recognize that according to the will of God, who is sovereign over these things as he is over salvation, that God distributes the riches of his earthly creation unequally. He distributes those riches, food and clothing and shelter and all else that goes into our earthly life. He distributes those things in such a way that to one he gives more and to others he gives less. Upon the one he pours abundance, and from time to time from another he deprives even that which is necessary, so that the poor man or the poor woman turns to the diaconate of the church for help in his or her necessity. Here again is the refutation of the philosophy of Marx and the communists, something that they don't practice, but something that they preach, that no one may have more than another, so that the rich may be robbed to give the poor an amount of earthly goods that corresponds to the others. In addition, to God's will that he distributes his goods unequally. The fact of the matter is, as is familiar to the experience of us all, that one member of the church has need for more bread than another member of the church. The man and the woman with a large family of children need more bread. And the finances that go into providing bread, than does the member of the congregation who is single and childless. We ask in the petition, therefore, that God will provide us with the material necessities of life that we stand in need of individually. And, according to the will of God, what we should have of this world's goods. In the petition, we also rely upon God to provide us these necessary things that are our portion each day anew. Here I refer, obviously, to the phrase in the fourth petition, give us this day the bread that is suitable to us and our circumstances. All of us, therefore, rich and poor alike, live on the same level in this regard. Each of us is dependent, and each of us expresses his or her dependence upon God to provide the necessities of earthly life each day. We don't rely upon what we have stored up for the future, even though we may have stored up material goods for the future, whether in our bank accounts or in our cupboards or in our granaries if we are farmers. Even though we may have stored up earthly goods for the future, we do not replot, we do not depend upon, we do not rely upon that which we may have stored up for tomorrow. Jesus warns against this trust in our own provision for the future at the very end of Matthew chapter 6, where he says, take no thought for the morrow will take care of the things of itself. Each morning anew when we awake, our request is, whether we have something in store or whether the cupboard is bare, each morning anew we petition God, give us this day what is necessary for us for the body as thou dost determine this. And then we have a concern, which we also express in the prayer when we pray it as Jesus taught us to pray it, not only for ourselves, but also for the entire family of God. That is, the entire church of our spiritual brothers and sisters, particularly the brothers and sisters in our own congregation. Praying the fourth petition, you do not say, give me this day my daily bread. But you are required to pray, as am I, give us this day our daily bread. There's a family aspect to this petition, as there is an important family aspect to our life as humans, and especially as covenant children of our Heavenly Father. That family aspect of human life, and especially the family aspect of spiritual life, is on the very surface of the model prayer. To whom are we praying? Our Father. And who therefore are we who are praying? Children of this Father. When family life, earthly family life, is lived the way it ought to be, and lived the way it can be, even for us sinful human beings, important spiritual lessons are learned and taught by the parents in this family life. When a reformed covenant family lives the way it ought to live, then all the members of that family are concerned not only about themselves, but about the other members of the family. Certainly that's true of father and mother. So much is that true of father and mother that they are willing, as it were, to give their life away on behalf of their children. In a way, that's what the father does when he goes out to work day after day to provide for that family. That's what the mother does when she devotes herself to maintaining and ordering the life of the family and the home. But there's also an aspect, an important aspect of that unique family concern in the lives of the children of the family. From childhood on and continuing into older age, brothers are concerned about their brothers and their sisters. The daughters of the family are concerned about their sisters and their brothers. And if it comes to that, such is that concern that brothers and sisters help each other out financially and economically in times of stress and need. And that's the earthly picture that God built into his creation and that he takes up into his church to show the magnificent truth of the real and everlasting family. The truth of us spiritual brothers and sisters. Important as it is to us that our own bellies gnaw with hunger, or that there are other pressing material needs, we don't forget about each other in the church or ignore the material needs of the other members of the congregation. We have an eye open for the possible material needs of each other. And without any fanfare, quietly, without trumpets blaring before us, we minister as we have opportunity to the needs of each other with meals or with money or with other material help. And certainly that care and concern that we have for each other expresses itself in a wonderful way in the diaconate of the church, the coffers of which diaconate are kept filled by the loving contributions of the members of the congregation with means. Thus, we show the sincerity of our petition. Give us, all of us who belong to the family of God, our daily bread. What a marvelous petition. What a spiritually rich request this seemingly simple prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And how magnificent is this request also with regard to what is implied in it concerning the relationship of God to us. Implied is that God has a care for our material needs. A father's care for the material needs of his beloved children. His care is not only for our spiritual and eternal salvation. That care will come out in the petitions of the model prayer that follow. Forgive us our debts and lead us not into temptation. But his care extends also to what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall wear, and where we shall lodge, as well as the work by which he will provide us with these necessities of life. God gives bread. God controls the answer to the bread question. Our Father is in heaven, and as the Father in heaven, he is sovereign over everything that has to do with bread and the other necessities of life. That we acknowledge in true faith when from the heart we pray, give us this day our daily bread. The economy is not a blind force. Relative order in society that enables men to work and to provide for their families is not dependent upon the politicians. Fertile fields and abundant crops and the energies of farmers and merchants and bakers are not ultimately under the power and control of natural forces and the abilities and ambitions of human beings. God governs the issue of bread in the United States of America today. That's one implication concerning the place of God in this matter of bread. And the second implication is that when we receive our bodily necessities, they come to us as a gift of God. To say the same thing in more than one word, a free gift, a totally gracious gift of God. Rightly does the Reformed faith bring that out in its explanation of the petition. Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. The Lord expressed that very thing in the opening word of the petition. Give us, give in thy goodness and in thy grace. When the working man at the end of the week or at the end of the month receives a paycheck from his employer, that paycheck is not the gift of the employer to the employee. That check is payment for services rendered. That check is something that the laboring man has earned by the sweat of his brow or by the brightness of his mind. But with regard to our receiving earthly necessities from God, these earthly necessities and the luxuries, if it pleases him to add these luxuries, always and only come to us as the gift of God to us. He doesn't owe this to us. We haven't earned this from him. Even though the way in which he gives us these things is the way of our own industry, our own work, these gifts are indeed gracious gifts to us. And ordinarily, it does please God to give us our daily bread in the way of our industry, in the way of our work, our hard work. The Catechism recognizes that, realistically, in its explanation of the fourth petition. When we make this petition, we acknowledge, among other things, that neither our care nor industry can profit us without thy blessing. Although the point that the Catechism is making there is somewhat different, implied clearly is that it pleases God to give us our daily bread in the way of our industry. But even though that is the case, the bread itself is a gift to us, his children, from our heavenly Father. Our work does not deserve or even necessarily bring to us the bread for the sake of which we are laboring. Again, what an amazingly rich petition is the fourth petition of the model prayer. Magnificent is this petition also in light of the motivation for this petition, as that motivation is explained by the Catechism in Lord's Day 50. It treats not only of the request, but also of our motivation in making the request. That motivation is, first of all, that we do have a care or a concern for bread. Here again, we must not become too spiritual, as though we have no care for bread or the other necessities of life whatsoever. Again, our catechism is instructive. Neither our care nor industry can profit us. When the Catechism is saying that our care and our industry cannot profit us without God's blessing, it is not disparaging care or industry. The child of God may not be careless with regard to the material necessities of his or his family's or the church's needs. Carelessness is a sin for one who professes to be a child of God. That carelessness can take many forms. It can take the form of laziness, especially then the head of the household, the father and the husband, is lazy and refuses to engage in the industry or work by means of which it pleases God ordinarily to give us our bread. Or it may be the case that the husband and the wife are spendthrifts. They don't budget carefully. They don't see to it that the means that they have are used for the necessities of the home and the family. They indulge themselves in luxury so that when it comes to it, they don't have any longer the necessities for the maintenance of the family. Neither the fourth petition nor all of Scripture encourages, much less praises, carelessness with regard to earthly life. If one says, I'm so wrapped up with spiritual things that I can't pay attention to the material aspects of my life, then he's mistaken. He's not as spiritual as he claims to be. The spiritual man, the spiritual woman, will have a care for the material aspects of his or her life. The motivation of The petition is the confidence of God's care for us, His children. You must have that confidence, beloved, especially any in the congregation who is struggling financially, struggling with regard to the material aspects of life, seems to himself or herself to be about to lack the basic necessities of earthly life. You must be assured, and I must be assured, of God's care for you and for me with regard to the bodily needs that we have and that He knows we have. What father is not concerned about material aspects, the financial aspects of the life of his children? What father, what mother will not expend himself or herself in order to provide that which the child may lack, if that ability lies at all in the power of the father or the mother? And that's only a faint reflection in us sinful, self-centered human beings of the loving care of our Heavenly Father for us in our material needs, our bodily needs. The love of God for us extends not only to our soul, but also to our body. The love of God reaches out to us not only with regard to our need for the forgiveness of sins and holiness of life, but also with regard to bread, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall wear, and where we shall live. Because He is Almighty, He will provide what we need. That provision may take the form of the help of brothers and sisters in the congregation. It may take the form of benevolent help from the diaconate of the church and the supply of our needs sometimes has taken the form of God's withholding from some of His children even the basic necessities of life, bread itself, so that they starve to death. And then, too, we have the confidence that this happens within the loving will of our Heavenly Father, so that what we need on behalf of His name, His kingdom, and His will is an empty table, nothing at all. And we submit to that judgment of our Father with regard to what we need. But ordinarily, in His loving care for us, He provides bread convenient for us. But someone may ask, does not God also and often abundantly provide bread for those who are not His children? For ungodly, unbelieving human beings. And the answer to that question, obvious to the experience of us all, is that God does give bread to the ungodly. If He is sovereign over bread, and if the wicked have bread, and more than bread, that comes from God and His providential control of their lives. The Catechism acknowledges that when it speaks of bread and the other necessities of life as gifts of God. God gives those things also to the unbelieving, ungodly. But here, our Reformed confession makes an extraordinarily important distinction. And entire denominations of churches have gone wrong including the denomination that has expelled the Protestant Reformed churches from their fellowship in the controversy over common grace, and that these churches fail to distinguish between God's gifts on the one hand and God's blessing on the other hand. That's inexcusable, that failure to make the distinction, because our Reformed confession plainly makes that distinction in Lord's Day 50. Neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. Gifts are one thing. Bread is one thing. A steak in a good steakhouse is one thing. A luxury vehicle is one thing. A palatial estate in the country is one thing. God's blessing is another thing. Without that blessing of God, that powerful grace that comes with these gifts and proceeds out of the love of God for the one to whom the gift is given, those gifts, food and housing and clothing and all the rest, do not profit a man or a woman, are of no benefit to that man or woman, are in fact a curse to that man or woman. Apart from the blessing and grace of God, the good gifts work the damnation of those upon whom the gifts are piled. And that's the teaching of Psalm 73. By all the earthly abundance that God pours upon the reprobate ungodly, He causes them to slide swiftly and precipitously into hell. Whereas, by contrast, the earthly need that God sometimes places upon His children serves our eternal good and salvation, brings us one day into the place God has prepared for us in heaven. We repudiate the false doctrine of a common grace of God as though the earthly gifts are in themselves and necessarily God's blessing. It doesn't distinguish between the gifts and the blessing. And the result is that the doctrine of common grace is taught by the Christian Reformed Church and held by many other Reformed churches besides, assures the ungodly of God's abounding favor upon him simply because he has riches. And it disquiets the soul of the needy child of God who may lack and be poor, as though God's favor doesn't rest upon that poor, believing child of God. We're motivated in making the fourth petition to ask not only for our needs, but to ask for the supply of our needs with God's blessing. For apart from that blessing, that powerful, gracious word that accompanies the gift, not only provides food for our belly, but strengthens us to carry on our Christian life to the praise of God. Without that blessing and grace, the gifts do not profit. Give us this day our daily bread in thy favor and with thy blessing. Thus, this petition expresses and realizes our blessedness, our conscious experience of bliss for one thing, praying this petition, we are not tormented by the gnawing anxiety and doubt. Will I have enough? Will there be food for my family? Will there be tuition for the Christian school? Will there be money for the budget of the church? Against that, Christ warns in Matthew 6, and we must be clear about that. Take no thought, as he repeatedly says, with regard to earthly things. Doesn't mean don't be concerned about them, but do not be anxious about those things. Don't be anxious about eating and drinking and clothing. From that anxiety, that gnawing anxiety, who of us can say that he or she has never felt that anxiety and struggled with that anxiety? We are delivered by the truth of the fourth petition, the model prayer. In that temptation, fall on your knees and make this very simple, magnificent request. Our Father, give us today our daily bread, so that belongs to the blessedness of this petition as well, we may withdraw our trust from all creatures, and place it in Thee alone. That's blessedness. Putting your trust for bread in our Father who is in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And yes, give us this day our daily bread. For Christ's sake, who died to merit this for us also. Amen.